Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought, a recent message. Thank you for listening this morning. I want to encourage you to please join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, 10 o'clock.
These things are for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That was speaking of the great sin at Mount Sinai, when they made the golden calf, and they were naked, and they danced, and they played, the Bible says. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpent. Who was the angel? The angel, he was the angel. The Lord Jesus Christ is that angel. What did Moses say? Don't provoke the angel when he delivers you into the land. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. We didn't even read that sin. That sin took place after. That was one of the sins that takes place after the day of temptation. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Satan is called the destroyer. What happened when the death angel came over the houses of the Egyptians? They killed the firstborn and even of the animals. He was called the destroyer in the Bible. Satan is also called the devourer in the New Testament. Destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for, there's just an older word for example. Examples is, that's King James English, just an old word for examples. And they are written for our admonition, for our warning, to sit up and take notice, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's read that again slowly. Now all these things happened unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We are in the ends of the world. These last 2,000 years have been the end of the world. This is the latter days. The end of the world. This world is coming to an end. This crowd that we're hearing about in Washington, D.C. that has usurped the Democratic Party and the UN and all the globalists and the environmentalists, their end is coming. It appears that we can't touch them with our courts today. We can't prevent their going forth with their agenda today, but their end is coming. We don't have the strength to do it anymore. The church is valueless in the world today. It has lost its spiritual strength because of its sin. But Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to put an end to their shenanigans and put an end to their corruption. And that will be the end of their world, the end of Egypt, the end of Egypt. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. He's speaking to you and I. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. We need to understand what he is saying. Why are these things for our example? Because every New Testament believer is in jeopardy of losing the inheritance of the future millennial rest due to unbelief after coming to Christ for salvation initially. The millennial rest, which is the kingdom, is conditional upon one's walk in the wilderness of this world. Jesus prayed to the Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Do we not see how much hate is fumed out towards Christians today? Because a Christian says, I'm not going to give you a license to marry because they have hold a government position, because I don't believe a man should marry a man or a woman should marry a woman. And the venom and the media and the noise that comes down upon that person or a business because they're not going to make a cake for a sodomite wedding. The millennial rest is conditional upon one's walk in the wilderness. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can you bear with me a little bit longer? Can you bear with me a little bit longer? Admonishments after admonishments to believers not to be conformed to this world or to take pleasure in its sin. We see this in Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who's he talking to? Who is Paul talking to? Us. He's not talking to a lost person. He's talking to a believer. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. So can a believer be conformed to this world? Yes. They can sink back into their old lifestyle. It takes effort to walk in your Christian walk. It takes a mindful thinking mind to continuously walk in our Christian life. Because we're battling the will of the flesh, the will of the world, and Satan. And so we have to be mindful of our walk constantly. It's got to be on the forefront of our mind. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Enmity, which is enemy with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. This following exhortation is not to the lost, but to the saved. The lost starts out life a lover of the world. He has no other option. So here in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can love the world. We can be overthrown. Were the children of Israel who were in the wilderness, saw all the thunderings and heard the trumpets at Mount Sinai, and saw Moses go up into this cloud on Mount Sinai, and all the things that they witnessed beforehand, and then 40 days later, they're making a golden calf and just saying, let's worship these delivered us out of Egypt, these golden calves delivered us out of Egypt. Were they overthrown? Did they love the world? They loved the world. They loved Egypt. How many times did they want to go back to Egypt? We looked at the last time. They wanted to go eat the cucumbers, the leeks, the garlics. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the whole picture here, everywhere, the admonishments, all the warnings, the exhortation, warning us as believers, don't go back into the world. Don't go back. Don't go back into the world. Stay away from it. 27 books tell us, don't do what those Israelites did. Stay away from the world. Stay away from the world. Separate yourselves. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Let's revisit Deuteronomy 6:23. Key point here. Put the emphasis on the word might. And he brought us out from thence, from Egypt. Moses is writing. This is 40 years after they wandered in the wilderness. He brought us out from thence that he might. Now, put the emphasis on the word might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Might. Might, as used above, means it may happen or it may not happen. It is not a definitive statement or an absolute certainty. It's a noun. It's called a noun preterite tense of the word may. It prefaces the act upon conditions to be explained in full later in a clause of conditions. Might means may. Doesn't mean absolutely, does it? He will. In law, in legal terms, Bob, you've been to law school. Legal terms, the word shall has two meanings. And you got to know what it means in the law. Shall could mean will, or shall could mean may. It's not always definitive. And you got to, it's a big argument. You look up the law in a law dictionary, the word shall, and you'll get all kinds of definitions and judges' decisions on the word shall. But might is just the word may. May and might can be used interchangeably. There is no assurance in the word might unless earned in direct obedience to Christ's commandments, God's commandments. We've been studying. Let me show you some other things here I wanted to show you. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Well, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. We all know this passage very well. Paul the Apostle at the end of his life, 2 Timothy is at the end of his life, the last book he ever wrote. Possibly Titus came after that. But he's near his death. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul wrote that. Now, keep your fingers there. Paul has assurance there, right? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He has assurance. Now turn your Bibles to Acts 20, verse 24. Apostle Paul here is speaking. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I what? Might finish my course with joy. Might. No assurance there, is there? No assurance there. But there was assurance in Timothy. Might finish my course with joy. But in Timothy, he says, I have finished my course. Because he knew Caesar killed Paul. Nero beheaded him, had him beheaded. We've been studying, those of you in my Bible study, a layman's perspective. But we're going to go turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I know we're going a little long. Just bear with me. We're learning. I'm teaching. A lot to teach in the Word of God. I don't have to drag this out for 10 messages. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is saved. He's preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, seeing souls get baptized. The church is forming. And he says in chapter 10, verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I what? Might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Remember, I was telling you that's talking about the first resurrection. The resurrection that is earned by faith through works in Jesus Christ. Not the one that's just earned by faith. That's the second resurrection at the end of time. But this resurrection, he had to attain unto it, that he might attain unto it. And he tells us that he counted all things but dung in his life. And so we see that's a key point. Might. Last section, and we'll finish it up here. End this. It has been said the book of Hebrews is the riddle of the New Testament. It compares and parallels events in the New Testament to that of the Old and points out that the New Testament is a better covenant than the Old. There are five warnings in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 again. Hebrews chapter 3, we're seeing the warning of what happened at Kadesh Barnea, the day of temptation. In actuality, and most people believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, not everybody. Some think other author, because Paul is in this book does not mention his name at all. In Hebrews chapter 3:3, verse, it says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God." Okay? Go down to verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith," did we not read this verse now? "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Did we read that in a psalm, right? We read that in a psalm. What psalm was that? Was it 95? Psalm 95? "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation." There's that word again. "In the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall," what? "Not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." This unbelief is unbelief in our walk. Not unbelief in believing in Jesus Christ initially, but it's unbelief in our walk with Christ. "But I exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ conditionally, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Partakers of his kingdom, his millennial reign. "While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Again, it repeats that. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they should not enter in because of unbelief." Yes, unbelief in our Christian walk. Again, it's mentioned in verse 4. Again, it's repeated. says in verse 3, if we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. So verse 1, let's just go back to verse 1 in chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That's talking to you and I. You and I who put the blood of the Lamb upon the doorposts of our hearts. Verse 9 in chapter 4, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into this rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Key word, labor. 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 What did the Israelites have to do? All they had to do was pick up a sword. God was going to go before them. Conquering their enemies was not going to be difficult. In our walk, we don't labor with a physical sword, but we labor with an not carnal weapons, but a spiritual sword or the Word of God. Our weapon of warfare is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Do you see that picture that Paul is painting? And all through the scriptures, a reminder, don't provoke the Lord. Don't provoke the Lord. Don't provoke the Lord. Don't provoke the Lord. Go back and look at what Israel did when they provoked me. Remember their day of temptation. Don't provoke me. Don't provoke me. Don't provoke me. Can we as believers provoke the Lord? Yes. When we pollute the Word of God, we provoke the Lord to anger. When we commit spiritual adultery, the church commits spiritual adultery with the state, they provoke the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Pray your richest blessings upon our day. Help us to comprehend, to absorb, understand that we need to labor to enter into your rest. That is vitally important. Help us to labor. Forgive us, Lord, of the flesh. Forgive us, Lord, where we have tempted thee, provoked thee. Lord, forgive us. We want to enter into your kingdom. We need your power and your strength. The Holy Spirit filling us, working in us, to giving us the power to endure this day and age in which we live. And I pray you would keep this congregation together, allow it to grow, prosper, and be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.